Good morning.
The arrival of every single one of our children has been an immense blessing to us. And our little Amelia is certainly no different. But when our two oldest, Walker and Catherine, came into this world, they both had some interesting kind of tricky moments, I guess, when they came into this world. And again, our little Amelia could be no different. When she came into this world, the first time that she was brought into the light of it, she was perfect. Only thing that was off was her color. She was about as blue as I think that I've seen a human be, and that's because she wasn't getting enough oxygen. And so they took this little oxygen machine and they put it in front of her face and they let it run for a little bit, and she began to pink up and things started looking good. But when they took it away from her, she started to turn blue again. She was not able to maintain her oxygen level. So we went through another cycle of this. But again, to the same results. Now, Amelia was not born in a hospital. She was born at a birthing center. And at this point, they are starting to talk to us about her having to be transferred to a hospital, transferred to NICU, where she can be treated there. And so they begin to make preparations for this. Obviously, this is not, worst case scenario in the world, not the worst thing in the world. And yet, there's just this feeling of helplessness. Like, our daughter is there now. She's here. We've got her. She's here. But she has to breathe, and that's not something we can do for her. So we did literally the best thing that we could do. We were praying for her. Now, in the middle of them getting everything ready for her to be transferred to NICU, we tried taking her off of oxygen again. And this time, when she came off of oxygen, she didn't blow up like she once did. Her oxygen was still low, not where it needed to be, but it was certainly better. And so we went through the cycle again of giving her oxygen and taking it back off. And at this point, her oxygen is holding a little bit higher. I think I can go ahead and skip to the end of the story. Instead of that day, us going to NICU and being there for a couple of days, we were home that afternoon. And we were pulling up and being greeted by the one-man greeting team of Brother Guy in our driveway. So it was an amazing thing. We don't know exactly the way that God answers our prayers, but I will say this, that we do know that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And I may be biased in saying this, but Amelia is about as good and perfect as you can get. So I will give all praise and glory to Him. And it's a real reminder, even in the times when we feel like we are helpless, God isn't. Our God is the God of miracles. And whether or not, somebody would look at Amelia's case and say that was a miracle or not is really a moot point, because any time a child comes into this world, it is a miracle. It is a miracle of God. And yet God, it's hard to imagine, but God works even greater miracles, and you and I may be one. Now, this may seem like an interesting shift, but I want to take a look at Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13, and I'm just going to read verse 23. God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah to his people, Israel, who has pretty much abandoned him at this point. And he says in verse 23, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good, you who are accustomed to doing evil." Now, the question that's being asked here and the question that's being answered is, can this evil people change to good? Can an evil people change to be God's people? And the answer that is given is, can a leper change its spots? Can a person change its skin? What answer are we supposed to conclude with these things? Well, no, they can't. Unless, and here's a very, very big unless, what if that leopard was born into a new leopard? What if a man was born into a new man? What if they were reborn into something new? I know this seems crazy. It seems crazy. I get it. But this isn't really my theory. If we were to turn over to John chapter 3, in John chapter 3, we'd come into a conversation that Jesus is having with a man named Nicodemus. And we read in verse 3 that Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Being reborn is not a theory. It is a necessity. If we are not reborn, we are not God's people, and we will not see the kingdom of heaven. we have to be reborn. We have to change. And it's more than our spots. It's more than our skin. And Jesus says in verse 7, "Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." But, you know, how can you be anything but? How can you not be amazed? I mean, wouldn't we consider being reborn maybe even a greater miracle than being born? How can someone be born again? Well, to answer that question this morning, we're going to take a look at the Ethiopian who changed. Turn over with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 will be our main text this morning. I'm going to read beginning in verse 26. "But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is a desert road. "So he got up and he went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who is in charge of all of her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go up and join this chariot.'" Now, the first person that we are introduced to here within our passage is Philip. And this Philip is one of the seven that is chosen in Acts chapter 6. But the man that we're really going to be focusing on in our study this morning is going to be the same man that Philip has just had his focus turned to. Again, Philip is told to approach this man who seems to be in the middle of a journey, and it seems like quite a journey. He has come from Ethiopia, which is down south of Egypt, and his travels has taken him all the way up to Jerusalem, and now he's on his way back. Now, we're not told this right out, but it does seem like this man, this Ethiopian eunuch, is either Jewish or is a Jewish convert. He was going up to Jerusalem to worship. He was reading from the book of Isaiah, and we don't see the gospel being preached to the Gentiles until Acts chapter 10. But this isn't really the only thing that is kind of hinted at about this man. In fact, we're told a few things about him in the text. We see that he was, number one, he was a eunuch, which I bet he may have found unfortunate. But what he probably didn't find unfortunate was that he was a high official in the court of the queen of Ethiopia. And he was in charge of all of her treasure. So he seems to be a man who was born into this physical world. He has lived life, and really it's been a busy life, it seems like. And in that regard, we may be very similar to him. Everyone here, I believe, has been born, right? We've been born and we have lived life to some extent, and maybe that's been full lives. Jobs, responsibilities, strengths, weaknesses, whatever it may be that's in our life. But looking at the eunuch, no matter how full his life has been, no matter how successful that his life has been from human standards, it is not the best life that God offers. And it's the same with us. This physical life that we have been born into. If this life is a good life, if we have found ourselves successful in this life, like, that's great, right? But it's not the best life that God offers. If, on the other hand, this life that we have been born into, our physical life, you know, if it's not all that great, well, thank God. Again, this is not the best life that God offers. Therefore, the conversation between these two men, between Philip and the Ethiopian, eventually leads to being born again. The Ethiopian eunuch had a life, and really it seems like maybe that was a good life, but if he was not reborn again, he could not see the kingdom of God. So what was his first step in this change? Let's continue reading in verse 30. "Philip ran up and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And he said, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' And he said, 'Well, how could I, unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture which he was reading was this: 'He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth.' And the eunuch answered Philip and said, 'Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him." Something that's already been hinted at that we saw in our last reading, the last section of our passage, is that the eunuch found something pretty good to do with his time as he was going on this journey. He's reading from the Bible. reading out loud from the book of Isaiah. And as Philip approaches him, the thing that he reveals is that, you know, he's not all too sure of what he's reading. That can be a far cry from us at times. He admits that. He is also not ashamed to ask for help in understanding. Now, I believe already read within our passage, it seems that at least this man is a respecter of God. He has traveled up to Jerusalem to worship. He is reading the Bible. He seems to be a respecter of God. But I believe as we look at him in this exchange with Philip and what we're going to see in the verses after this, it does not seem that he is just a respecter of God, but he seems like he's a pursuer of God. We read in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Doesn't that seem like that's what the eunuch is doing? Even before Philip came up to this man, even before he met the eunuch, I honestly believe that he was headed towards being born again. And the reason why is he was a man who pursued God. I don't know, maybe that's why the Spirit brought Philip here in the first place. I mean, maybe this is a man who is seeking, and God wants to make sure that he finds him. It's a very good illustration of the shepherd going after the one sheep, that's for sure. But every birth has a starting point. Every birth has a point of conception, and I believe that it is the same with rebirth. There's a point when we just start heading in the right direction. When we start heading towards the right path. And that point for us is when we start to pursue God. When we start to seek after God. When we start to chase after God. And we don't really know what that point was for this man. We don't know what that point was for the eunuch. But I wonder if maybe he just realized there is more. There is more to this life. There's more than this physical life that we have been born into. I mean, this man oversaw a great amount of treasure in the court of Ethiopia. But there is a God out there with an even greater treasure for us, an unimaginable treasure for us. He was a high official for the Queen of Ethiopia, but there is a king of all of creation out there who wants each and every one of us to be his servants. There is more to life. In fact, there is another far greater life that we can be reborn into. Have we conceived that fact? Have we come to the realization of that fact? You know, if we have come to this building this morning, there's a very good chance that we are a respecter of God, and that's a great thing. That's a wonderful thing. There are a lot of people outside of this building who respect God to some extent, and that's a wonderful thing. It's a very great foundation. But it is when we pursue God, when we seek God, when we search God, when we desire God, when we chase after God, that is when we leave this broad path that we are so used to traveling, and we follow Him through the narrow gates. The gates that lead to paradise. The gates that only one who has been born to live there, reborn from this life, can stay. And that's eventually what this Ethiopian's pursuit leads to. I'm going to go back to verse 35 and finish up our reading here. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing." Again, I want to notice the first words that we see here out of the mouth of the Ethiopian. He says, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" Why is it that he said that? He said it because, and we read this right in the text, he had Jesus preached to him, and he believed. He believed in Jesus, the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Chosen of God, the Son of God. He believed that Jesus had been treated exactly like he read in that text that we see him reading. He believed that Jesus is the sacrifice of sin or for sin in this world. He believed that we put to death our life of flesh and sin in the waters of baptism, accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He believed, and he was brought out of the water, reborn into spiritual life. I don't know if he was even aware of the instance that we've kind of looked at about the exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus. But he's doing the very things that Jesus was telling Nicodemus that needs to be done for to be reborn. We never did finish that text. I'm going to go back to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and in verse 3, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." Jesus said that one has to be born of water and the Spirit. Now, I believe, looking at this, what we've read in chapter 8 of our text, I believe that the Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water with a spirit consisting of different attitudes. I believe he went into the water with a spirit of belief in Christ Jesus. I believe he went into the water with a spirit of obedience to Christ Jesus. I believe that he went into the water with a desire to repent from that past life that he wanted to see buried within that water so that he can walk in newness of life with Jesus Christ. The very things that we see encouraged from Peter during in Acts chapter 2 in verse 36. Peter said, "Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Verse 38, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and what? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Ethiopian eunuch went down into the water with a spirit. He came up, risen again, with the Spirit. And the text in Acts chapter 8 doesn't say all of this, but it's definitely something that we can infer because he had Jesus preach to him. And this is what goes into that. And this is what he was responding to. And we see in the text that he went on his way rejoicing. And you know what? We rejoice with him. Praise God. Can an Ethiopian change? Well, he sure can. He can change more than just the skin. We can too. A life that has not been reborn into Christ Jesus is a life of "this is as good as it gets." A life that has not been reborn into Christ Jesus is a life of no eternal life. No kingdom of heaven. No mercy. No joy, no forgiveness. It is a life of helplessness. But God is not helpless. He is the God of miracles. And through the love and the sacrifice and the obedience of His Son, Jesus Christ, He can take our helpless physical lives and He can turn us into new creatures that can set our hopes on the kingdom of heaven, that we can see it one day. We can be reborn as His children. And the vision I want us to see is imagine a father holding up their newborn child, son, daughter, whatever, holding up their newborn child and looking at them with hopes for their future. God still has plans for us. If we have been reborn in Christ Jesus this morning, God's plans did not end at that point. Really, for us, they were just beginning. The Ethiopian eunuch was reborn. I mean, we've looked at that and we've established that. But when he was brought up out of the water by Philip, Philip wasn't bringing out like a baby in his hands, was he? No, he wasn't. And we know that that doesn't happen to us either. Whenever we are born into this life, reborn into this life that Christ gives us, we are to have some childlike qualities. See in Matthew 18 and verse 3, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." We also see in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, "Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." But whenever we are reborn, whenever we come out of the water, I believe that we're born more in a way like Adam was born. Adam was created by God, and from the moment that God breathed life into him, he was ready and able to do the work that God had for him in the garden. Are we any different? When we come out of the water, we're not weak as children. I mean, we should come out of the water completely dependent on our Father, but when we come out as useful and capable servants to God, with a whole garden, with a whole harvest in front of us to work in. And just like God told Adam and Eve from the very beginning in Genesis 1 and verse 28, He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." With the life that they had been given, Adam and Eve were to bring more life into this world. And I ask for those who have been born into the true life, the true eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ, I mean, is it not more important that we fill this life with the life and light of Christ Jesus? Can a leper change its spots? Well, we know that God can cover a stained soul with righteousness. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Well, we know that God can clothe the helpless in Christ. Can an evil people become God's people? We know that through Christ, God can take a people and make them into a completely different creature. We see in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature." We have changed, or we can change. We have been reborn, or we can be reborn. Let's live changed lives, being fruitful and bringing in life to this world from our God that provided us life. And if you have not put on Christ this morning, I pray that the idea is starting to dawn. There is more to this life. Those that pursue God, and this is for each and every one of us, those who pursue and chase after God are going to find out two things. Number one is, He is a God that is worth the pursuit. Number two is, He's closer than we realize. Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." If you are ready for that this morning, to answer that call, if you would like and love to be reborn in the water and the Spirit, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.